New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
We're live. What's up, everybody? Welcome to West by Pod, podcast about WVU football, the Big 12 Conference, and putting a little cinnamon in your chili. I'm Joel Bracken. I am at WV Stats Guy, and I'm joined, as always, by Jordan Pinto. He's at Game Day Shorts. Are you a Skyline fan, Jordan?
I have never tried Skyline chili.
Really? No way.
I've been to Cincinnati multiple times, and, you know, I'm a huge chili fan, but, yeah, I was just never like... You know, I'm just gonna let that be their thing. I'll take their word for it.
A little cinnamon sweetness in your chili.
Yeah, they have good. Are you a fan?
I mean, like, I'll preface this that it's like fast food chili, so like that just set your expectation. But it's unexpectedly pretty good if you're in the mood for something like that. Like, I probably have it like twice a year, but I enjoy it. My wife not about it. They're all over Columbus. Like, you can get to one if you want it, but it's a novel. It is a polarizing thing. Like, you either are about it or like it might make you like gag reflex. It's kind of a
I generally, based on the description, I would say I'm probably not a fan. I generally like my chili with a little kick. So, you know,
yeah, this you can you can doctor it up, but yeah, this isn't like a spicy chili situation. It's a league of its own, really. I mean, there's just nothing I feel like you can compare it to closely, but it's worth a try. You definitely got to try if you're making the trip to Cincinnati this year. Skyline chili on the way. We're talking Cincinnati today on the deep dive series. We're into the final third of the schedule. And rolling along, we're getting close to the season, so I'm knocking these out, doing our homework ahead of time, so we know a little bit about these teams. Any topics you want to discuss before we get in, or
do a quick defensive storyline?
Fall camp defensive. Any stories you're catching your ear?
I've got to start with Josiah Trotter. You know, I think the coaches have been a little guarded with being too positive about it, but like you can kind of tell that they're excited. And then I watched his interview. I think he did an interview maybe Monday. And like, you want to talk about like a fucking adult 19-year-old, like mature guy. And I'm sure it helps having, you know, an NFL dad linebacker and a brother who's about to be in the NFL linebacker, and just in terms of, like, here's how you do things the right way, I'm sure that helps. But, like, I'm fucking 36, and I would follow this kid into battle. I'm telling you that right now. Just very, very impressive. You know, I think he's ready to take the reins of the defense right now. I think he's going to be a different player than Lee Kogba, but maybe better right away. Just in terms of, like, you know, being a good linebacker. Kogba was like the emotional leader of the defense, was very good at specific things, but I think Trotter is probably a better all-around player, which, you know, you pair him with Trey Lathan, better all-around room if everybody stays healthy. Obviously, both of those guys are coming off injury, so knock on wood there. But I think that's my favorite one. You know, I think a big concern coming into camp for me was defensive line depth. It sounds like we have mostly sorted that out. You know, it sounds like we have 7 or 8 true defensive linemen across the 3-4 who we feel comfortable with, which seems like enough. Plus, you know, I think we have a 1 or 2 spears who could probably play a 5 technique in a pinch. So feel good about that. I think the other big area of concern, obviously, we're a transfer heavy back end. But it sounds like, you know, I think what you have a lot of guys coming in as transfers, a lot of new faces. What you want is for one, hopefully two, to step up and claim a job. And it sounds like we have that. It sounds like Garnet Hollis and Aiden Garnes have been very, very, very good so far in camp. And have seized those starting cornerback roles. Sounds like Jacoby Spells, who obviously high recruit a couple years back, flashed a little bit as a freshman, didn't do much last year. It sounds like he's kind of coming along and maybe progressing. Obviously, Aubrey Burks moving to the spear, get him closer to the line of scrimmage, maybe cause a little bit more havoc than he has been able to, playing as a free safety. And then, you know, I think who knows about the back two safeties, the free and the cat. It sounds like Jaheim Joseph, the other transfer from Northwestern, is probably going to be the starter at the free if everybody's healthy. I think that cat safety seems like it's still up in the air. But overall, you know, I think just like I said with the offense, you know, I think there were some things that we were hoping for that would progress throughout the camp, where you have guys stepping up in the positions where you need guys to step up. And I think that seems like it's happening defensively, and especially, like I said, with Josiah Trotter, like, I could not be more excited about this guy. I think he was probably going to play last year as a true freshman a lot. And so, you know, hopefully he gets his chance and just runs with it. Yeah. You know, could be, right, we, as good as I think we think the offense can be, we don't need them to be amazing. It'd be great if they're amazing. But really, we just need a good, solid unit that's not going to let team. You want to avoid that 2014 situation or the 2012 situation where the offense feels pressured to score every time, right?
Yeah.
You know, you just want a unit that's going to go out there, keep stuff in front of them, get a few stops, get off the field on third down when they should, and you know, hold teams under 30. And I think we're going to be in good shape most weeks. So, you know, stuff coming out of camp, I feel good that we're on pace to do that.
I like that. Dude, we're like 3 weeks away from football. I feel like there's been a tinge of fall in the air this week. I'm not even going to lie. Like, in the evenings, it's cool a little bit.
I'm starting to feel it in my plums a little bit, Joel. We were up in Canaan Valley last week, and I actually had a damn sweatshirt on in the evening. You know, it was down in the low 50s, high 40s. There's been that first whiff of chill in the air that lets you know that football is around the corner.
There's it's
my favorite fucking thing in the world.
I know, there's something romantic about the best weather, the best like weather days of the year is right when football starts, at least in my opinion. It's like you can feel it in the air. You're like, oh, football's coming. We're almost there.
Football.
All right, let's talk Cincinnati. Yeah, so I have written down for my notes a sort of, you know, run through the state of the program. I have welcome to the big show, 3-9, and just, I mean, smacked in the face. Just not a really good season. You're not too far removed from a team that snuck into the 4-team playoff. Last year, you lost to Miami of Ohio at home, and
but you beat Pitt.
They beat Pitt. Okay, they beat Pitt, they beat Eastern Kentucky also, and the only other win was Houston. Other than that, you hardly even sniff to close a game. I feel that feels mean to say, but like, Baylor was close. I mean, that's about it. I mean, it wasn't good. It was over halfway through the second in Morgantown, I feel like. That was our most decisive win, I think, by far last year. It's just in conference play, at least. So, vibe around the program, I just have question marks. Like, I really don't know. You know, I think there's a fair amount of, like, readjustment into a new league. But last year was pretty bad. And is it getting better? I'm not sure. I mean, that's what we'll talk about a little bit. But I don't know that there's, like, this massive optimism in the Cincinnati fanhood. I'm not sure. Your expectation for this year is more of the same. I mean, they're picked third from the bottom of the conference. You sit middle of the road in returning production, 65th. Last year, your offense was 72nd in beta rank. That is an opponent adjusted metric. So there are only like 60-ish power teams. They were 72nd in offense, 113th in defense. It's not good. Your coaching staff, you return the same head coach, Scott Satterfield. OC is back. The defense was so bad they did have to let the guy go. You do have a new defensive coordinator, Tyson Veit, and he's coming from Iowa State. I think he was like a linebacker coach there for a while. And as my like pet peeve, I looked at his profile, and you know, Cincinnati claims that he led the best defense of the last 8 years in Iowa State. Every coordinator's page says that they led the best unit the world has ever seen. So that's my overview. I mean, I don't know. Cincinnati just, they exist in this conference right now, and I don't know what else there is much to say. They are definitely on some people's schedules. What do you think about them?
They're certainly on ours, or else we wouldn't be fucking talking about them. they were a mess on both sides of the ball last year. Outscored 24-30 on average. Offensively, the only thing that they did kind of well was run the ball. I think they were 34th beta rank rush. I think they were, like, in terms of just sheer volume, they were like one of the top 10 or 15 rushing attacks in the country in terms of total yards per game. But it was just because they did it a lot because they couldn't fucking throw. I mean, they were 103rd pass in beta rank. So, not a great offensive team. Not efficient, not explosive. So, just not good. And then, the defense was just a dumpster fire. So, I don't know. It's one of the situations kind of like the opposite of like an Oklahoma State where it's like, no, the returning production isn't great, but like the production that they would have returned or could have returned was bad. So maybe it's better, but yeah, like you said, I don't know. Picked what, 14th out of 16.
Yep.
In the conference. So yeah, vibes. I can't imagine vibes were high. I hope Cincinnati really enjoyed that playoff run because it hasn't been good the last year, and I'm not sure that it's going to be great this year either.
Yeah, there's not like an overwhelming sign that things are going to radically change, but let's talk about it. Quarterback position, new guy here, transfer guy. Emory Jones was your quarterback last year. The Emory Jones experience did not work out as planned. Your new guy is Brendan Sorsby, and he played at Indiana, and he was all right. 69 PFF grade, that's fine. 6'3", 235. I mean, he's fine. I maybe a downgrade here, but also like it's not like the passing game was much happening last year. He can run the ball. He had some, Emory Jones, I think a big thing if you want to talk positively about last year is he did move the ball on the ground. He had 133 attempts, around 700 yards. Sorsby carried it 97 times last year at Indiana for 442 yards. So at least a mobile quarterback who's not afraid to tote the rock, several times a game. That's really the closest comp I can see.
Yeah, my first note was just that he's a big fucker. 6'3", 235, that's a linebacker, man, playing quarterback. Just okay as a passer. Bottom third of, so I went on PFF and did the Big 12 plus the four Pac teams plus Indiana, because that's where he played last year. Bottom third in pass grade, just 67.2, 57% completions. Took pretty good care of the ball, right around 3% turnover worthy plays. So, you know, didn't do a ton to hurt him when he was throwing the ball, but maybe didn't do a ton to help him either. But yeah, good runner. What'd you say? You said 73 attempts.
Yeah, 97 attempts.
97. And I think if you take out like kneels and fumbles, I don't know. Somehow I got to 88 like true carries. 18 explosives and 33 missed tackles forced on 88 carries, which is pretty fucking good. I mean, that's pretty good for a quarterback, pretty good for running back, honestly. I think you mentioned the offensive coordinator, Brad Glenn's back. History of running the ball, not only at Cincinnati last year, but at Virginia Tech the year before that, at Georgia State for the 3 years before that. So the quarterback is going to be involved in the running game designed. And this guy can do that. You know, he can run the ball. He's going to get downhill and punish people. He's not a bad scrambler. And if he is even a slight upgrade on Emory Jones in the passing game, I think it's a net win. Like, you know, I think, who knows if he will. I think last year was his first year as a starter at Indiana. So you'd figure somebody would improve in their second year as a starter. Obviously, different system, but probably pretty similar just in terms of what they're trying to do in terms of getting him involved in the running game and then probably a lot of play action, RPO type stuff in the passing game.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier, like this team was more than happy to run the ball last year, both with the quarterback and then, of course, Corey Kiner was your running back last year. He returns. He carried it 192 times, over 1,000 yards, 5.5 a carry, 81.7 PFF grade. So getting him back is going to be big for this offense if they want to continue to do that same thing. Like I said, their second leading rusher was Emory Jones last year. And then following that, you had Miles Montgomery and Ryan Montgomery, who I'm not seeing either of those guys on the roster moving forward. So,
nah, they go.
Yeah. So you have some transfers coming in here. Your transfer names are Evan Pryor and Chance Williams. Anything on these guys?
So Pryor was a high four-star out of high school. He's an Ohio State guy. So only 76 snaps in the last two seasons, but you figure the talent's there. Honestly, in terms of touch dispersion, I would expect it to be similar. I would expect Sorsby to be the second leading carrier on this team. But you figure Pryor probably has a little bit of juice, and then Chance Williams transfer from Grambling. He was very productive. Had an 88 run grade there last year. 6 a carry, over 3 after contact, and 49 missed tackles on 139 attempts. So, I expect the running backs to be good again. Like, I thought they were pretty good last year. I expect them to be good again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be. I mean, it was the strength of the offense last year. And
that's what they're going to try and do. Like, right, all these guys are going to get touches. They're going to run it more than they pass it, for sure. So,
yeah. Okay, pass catchers. Your top target guy last year was Xavier Henderson, and Xavier spelled X and then Xavier. Top target guy. He had 98 targets last year, 70.1 grade. So not too shabby. But really the only other guy that you get back is the tight end, Shimon Mateyer.
Yeah.
And they used him. He only had 30 targets. So, the passing game, I just feel like never really got its legs underneath it last year. I don't know how much you can extrapolate out from here, but no overwhelming standout. I mean, Corey Kiner got the ball 16 times. His grades look great just because he was great, I think, when he had the ball in space, but that's about it. So, once again, you get a transfer Tyron Smith in. Potentially could be a difference maker. He came out of UTEP. A couple other guys, I think a FAU transfer and a Chattanooga transfer. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Any of those guys pop out to you?
I just want to say, after Arizona, we appreciate the phonetic spelling of X Xavier.
Yeah,
just so there's no confusion about that. But yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, they bring back Evan Prater, who had 16 targets, but graded out, you know, pretty well last year, 67.5. And then, you know, I guess we'll see about these transfers. Tyron Smith, the UTEP guy, graded out really well last year. So did Jamoy Mays, the Chattanooga guy. The FAU guy, Tony Johnson, was replacement level. I don't know. For a team that's going to run the ball a ton, I'm okay with the rotation, I guess. But, you know, I think in contrast, again, to Arizona, there's no real studs here. You know, Xavier Henderson was good, fine to good, probably good. He's fine. But you know, he's not like an alpha dog number one where it's like, okay, I can see how Tyron Smith and Jamoy Mays are going to slot in. Right. Like I'm, you know, I assume Henderson leads him in targets again. But the, you know, it's like a standard receiver room, you know, I it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I have just written down like probably about the same as last year.
Yeah, probably the same. Well said. Yeah, probably about the same.
Okay, and then O-line. Last year, they're kind of the opposite. Well, not maybe the full opposite, but we just talked about Arizona, who really was good at pass blocking, not as good at run blocking. This is second worst in the conference in pass blocking, but third best in run blocking. And they get everybody back. I mean, I think
everybody.
This alone gives them like some continuity on the offense, and gives them a chance to build around. I mean, you could run the ball successfully last year. You would assume that's only going to be the same, if not better, this year. If Sorsby can step in and, you know, do his best Emory Jones running impersonation, I think this offensive line is going to be fine. I mean, I think I'm not like overly worried with this unit.
Yeah, I mean, my note is should be good, probably the strength of the offense. You know, you look just going across the line, Gavin Gerhardt, the center, best graded returning center in the league. Luke Kendra, best graded returning guard in the league. D'Artagnan Tinsley, sixth highest graded returning guard in the league. John Williams graded out fine as a tackle. You know, I think the only question mark, I'm seeing DeAndre Buford listed as a starting tackle on our lads, graded out a 47.7 last year. But they have a guy, Philip Wilder, who graded out in the high 60s on, you know, significant snaps last year. So I was a little confused why Wilder isn't starting. I guess that's, you know, maybe we should check how much stock we're putting in the PFF grades. But, I have literally the exact same note. If Sorsby takes a step forward, they have a chance to be improved and maybe fairly, like, significantly improved offensively. I actually like the offense way more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Just in terms of pieces fitting what they're trying to do. Like, they're going to try and run it. They have a good offensive line. They have good running backs. They have a quarterback who can run. So, mm-hmm. You know, the pieces fit.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a story you can tell yourself with that offense. Sure. Like we said, they were 72nd in beta rank offense last year. So definitely a lot of room to improve. Let's flip it to defense. Starting on the D-line, you got to start with Dante Corleone. He's your lone All-Big 12 guy on this team, and that's, you know, a sure thing. 83.3 grade last year. He was a 93.8 the year prior, which is absurdly high PFF grade. So that's going to be your anchor on the D-line. You have Jalen Hunt as well. And Harris Adams is a transfer in. Some solid guys last year. Eric Phillips is back. He led the team in pressures. Anybody on the defense you want to highlight, or the D-line you want to highlight?
I think that the only asterisk we have to put here is Corleone, I want to say, came out a month or two ago that he has blood clots in his lungs. So he is out indefinitely. And from what I've been reading, he's been doing drills and doing, you know, he's at practice, he's participating, but he has not done any live contact or 7-on-7, 11-on-11, any of that stuff. You know, I think it's kind of a wait and see situation there. And, you know, I'm saying, unfortunately, not with his health in mind. Obviously, I hope he makes a full recovery. And you know, plays. I hope he starts week fucking one, right? Because he's an awesome player. He's going to be a good player in the NFL for a long time. Unfortunately, we play them later in the season, right? So there's a good chance that he's back, and I do think he's probably the best player on this team. But even if he's not, you know, even if he's not around, you know, if he's out, if he misses the whole season because of this, have a couple good guys. They run a 3-man front, so you know, true nose tackle. Jalen Hunt was good last year, and then they bring in a guy from Southeast Missouri State, Harris Adams, who was good last year. So I think the rotation is going to be fine at the nose, even if Corleone can't go week one. At the edge, yeah, Phillips is back, but you lose Malik Van and Daniel Grzyak. It's one of these weird, it's a, you know, Eastern European name. You know, so you lose two of your three best. You add a guy from Darian Varner from Wisconsin, by way of Temple. So he was good at Temple, but he was below replacement level at Wisconsin last year. Only two pressures. Couple other guys. Rob Jackson, I think, was there last year. Was a reserve, and then Micah Coleman, Eastern Michigan transfer, who graded out okay, had 30 pressures at Eastern Michigan, but, you know, again, is the big step up. You know, we'll see if he can replicate that. But, yeah, no, I mean, especially if Corleone plays, the defensive line should be fine. Like, I think the edges are fine. The interior, especially if he plays, is really good. So, you know, I guess we'll see. I think good up the middle, maybe a small step back on the edges.
Yeah, yeah. Linebacking core, a familiar face, Jared Bartlett. He is in the dog position. We also have
that DAW or DO.
DO. Yeah. Team change, you got it. New terminology. Yeah.
Doesn't scare me as much for some reason if it was DAW, but okay. Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
No, I mean, your other two linebackers don't put up you know, eye-popping PFF grades here. Jack Dingle was a 53 last year. Your other guy is Jonathan Thompson, a 60.5. I mean, this defense was just not great last year. So, you know, two of your backs, linebackers are back, and then you throw in Jared Bartlett there. You know, it is what it is. I don't know. You have big thoughts on linebacking room?
Nah, it was awful last year, two or three starters back. Yeah, you add Bartlett, who, you know, I mean, probably will have four sacks on the season, and three of them will be against us on that Friday night in Cincinnati, because that's kind of his game. You know, the only other piece that I see, Connor Keyes transfer from Minnesota, but I don't think he ever played a snap at Minnesota. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, my note, awful last year, two or three starters back, no depth, could be bad again. could be bad again. Yeah, I don't know. Because Dingle, like you mentioned, Dingle and Thompson, like, it's not like those are young guys, like, where it's like, oh, it's their first year starting, they should make a jump. It's like, yeah, they've been there. It's kind of who they are, probably. So,
yeah. Okay. Moving back to the DBs. A situation where you're going to have a lot of transfers coming in and immediately making impacts here. Four of your five defensive backs are transfers, projected starters. Jordan Young is your only returning projected starter, and he had a 55 grade on over 700 snaps last year. So yeah, I mean, that's what you're working with here. Your transfers, Derek Canteen from Georgia Southern, Mekki Miller from New Mexico State, Logan Wilson from North Texas, Josh Minkins from Louisville. Any of those guys stand out to you?
Not really. You know, I think Mekki Miller, the New Mexico State guy, box safety, I think he's playing what they call their star position. Played his way into a starting role last year at New Mexico State, so he was good. Had a 4% missed tackle rate, so like really good box safety against the run. You know, I think the reason I'm a little ho-hum about that is because Deshaun Pace was in that position last year, and he was like probably, aside from Corleone, their best defender. So, you know, I don't think it's an upgrade at that position, even though I think he's probably a pretty good player. Yeah, you lose Taj Ward, you lose Byron Threats. Yeah, Logan Wilson, the North Texas guy, was consistent, 70.6 and 70.8 at North Texas over the last 2 years on 1,300 snaps. So, like, it seems like he probably is a pretty, you know, he's probably dependable. He's fine. Minkins was a 62 as a starter in 2022, but it seems like he played himself off the field last year and then got hurt. He was a 50. He started the season as a starter, but then got downgraded to just a played, and his snaps dropped off, and then he got hurt in like the sixth or seventh week of the season. So 54.8 last year on 191 snaps. Not sure that's an upgrade. Canteen, you know, maybe an upgrade over what they had last year. You know, I think the note that I have about the secondary, so Canteen was man-heavy last year. You mentioned that the guy coming in is from Iowa State. I would assume they play a lot more zone this year than they did previously. And Canteen had a 51.7 coverage grade in zone last year at Virginia Tech. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it'll be worse than it was last year. I can't imagine it being a ton better. Just because, like I said, I think the best guy they brought in is still at best a push with what they had in that position last year.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, my note overall just for the defense is, not sure I see tremendous, you know, increase. This was a really bad team, bad defense last year, bad unit overall. There's a lot of room for improvement, but, you know, just nothing popping off. I think Dante Corleone's availability will, you know, dictate a decent bit of the success, at least early in the season, if we think he's going to be playing or not. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just, like, yeah, I don't know what Cincinnati fans are feeling. I'm sure they're drinking the Kool-Aid just like every fan drinks their own team's Kool-Aid, but on paper, not looking fantastic for them, in my opinion. In this conference, it's not.
Yeah, that's it's pretty similar to what I had. Is, you know, D-line should be okay, but obviously some huge concerns in the linebackers room in the secondary. You know, like you said, they were so bad last year, I could see them being better, but I don't see them being good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
All right, let's climb index them. Cohesion. I gave them a 2.5, dead in the middle out of 5. They're pretty much dead in the middle in returning production. I think your cohesion highlight is the offensive line. That is like the, you know, the whole unit's there. I think that's good. Otherwise, I think it's kind of just average.
Yeah, I said 3, just because, you know, I think when you think of the identity of this team, they're going to run the ball. They bring back a really good running back. They bring back, you know, a quote-unquote primary receiver on the outside in Henderson, and then, yeah, the whole offensive line. And then they also bring back, you know, most of their defensive front. So decent continuity there. So 3 out of 5.
The losses category, I gave them a 4 out of 5, being more positive than average. You know, you lose a couple pieces, but nothing that can't be replaced, and they weren't good. Really in most places last year. So, I don't think you lose anything you can't stomach.
Yeah. I put 3 out of 5, maybe a 3.5, but yeah, they were down so bad last year that none of the losses aside from Pace, who I mentioned, really seem like it's probably the worst thing. So.
Yeah. Infusion, I gave them a 3. They went and got guys, and this is a similar story as we talked with Arizona. It's like, you know, maybe it's necessity, but you went out and got guys to fill in holes. You have 8 projected starters, including a new quarterback and the majority of your secondary. So, you know, you did your job in the transfer portal. We'll see if it pays out.
Yeah, I gave him a 4 for the same reason. That last thing you just said is just hit the nail on the head for me. Is you know, you went out and the spots you needed to get guys, you got guys. You know, Sorsby, I think, at worst, is a push with what Emory Jones was. I expect him maybe to be a little bit better than that. Bartlett is probably an upgrade over what they had at the dog position, DOG, last year. Then you have a couple of Ohio State dudes who were four stars out of high school. I mentioned, I like some of the pools in the secondary where I could see the secondary maybe being a little bit better than it was last year. So yeah, 4 out of 5, nothing. I mean, they're not pulling former 5 stars, but they filled all their needs with adequate replacements. So
yeah, the menu, the schedule, I gave them a 4 out of 5 and I said, can we just have this schedule? Because I like it. They play Towson, Pittsburgh, and Miami of Ohio. Then you go into conference play, Houston, Texas Tech, UCF, Arizona State, Colorado, West Virginia, Iowa State, Kansas State. That's a rough stretch. TCU to close. I'd love that for this conference. I mean, I would take it.
Yeah, I gave them a 4 out of 5 too, and my note is, how is every fucking schedule so much easier than ours? I don't feel like we've looked at one fucking schedule. What are we, 8 games, 9 games into the season? Where I was like, yeah, I wouldn't take that.
Your first 8 games are like not bad. Towson, Pittsburgh, Miami of Ohio. At least 2 wins. And then you go Houston, Texas Tech, UCF, Arizona State, Colorado. Like, this team's not good, and they might win like 2 of those.
Oh, I think, yeah. I mean, we would have to absolutely shit down our legs to not be 6-2 after those 8. Like, literally.
I mean, yeah.
Like, Texas Tech and UCF are the only ones that I'm looking at where I'm like, yeah, I could see that being a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you mean your final month is not the easiest. November, yeah, West Virginia, Iowa State, Kansas State, TCU. TCU might be your easiest opponent there. And that's not going to be a fun closing month, but yeah, they could find a way to bowl eligibility before they even hit that month.
For sure. Yeah. No, I mean, if they do their work in September and October, yeah, they could be bowl eligible and then, finish.
It's crazy.
Finish 6-6, but
we just shit on this team for like 30 minutes and then we're like, yeah, they might just win 6 games because that's schedule. It's doable. It's there.
Towson, Pitt, Miami, Ohio, like 2-1 at worst there.
Yeah.
Houston is one of the teams picked below them. Arizona State is one of the teams picked below them. Texas Tech is in the bottom third of the conference. Colorado's bottom third of the conference. UCF is the only one in the top half of the conference for the first 2 months of the season.
Like, they could very easily be 4-0. You win Arizona State, that's 5 wins. You beat Colorado and somebody else on a good night and you're bowl eligible.
And to be very clear, I like the matchup with Colorado, right? Like, if you're looking at a team where they were good at running last year, we expect them maybe to be better at running it this year. Colorado was dog shit at that last year. Who knows if Colorado is even fielding a team by late October, the way that program seems to be going right now. I would trade.
Do you have a benefactor for Cincinnati that's not Skyline Chili?
Yeah, so Skyline's the obvious choice. Dude, I've really gone off the rails with these. I don't know if you read my email. So my curveball here is Cowboy Wayne's pest control and rodent removal. So if I don't know if I'm dating myself or I don't know exactly what our demographic is here, but that's a Saving Silverman reference. If you haven't seen it, go watch it and shut your brain off and just enjoy the ride. Don't like think about like, is this a good movie? Just enjoy it. But the reasoning here is, I don't know if you've ever seen a bear cat, but they don't really live up to like the expectations of like bear cat and like, oh, this is an intimidating creature. First of all, they're actually called binturongs, which, I'm not a fan of that word or of animals that that use fake news to boost their image, right? And then second, aesthetically, they don't look like a bear or a fucking cat, right? Like, they're just, it's like a little 3 foot long, 35 to 40 pound animal. It's basically a fucking mini doodle sized raccoon that looks like it stumbled into a meth lab. So if you're looking at a rodent, if you're looking for a rodent, this is like a quintessential rodent. candidate for pest removal, pest and rodent removal, nobody better than Cowboy Wayne. So that's my, I don't know what to do with these benefactors. I feel like I go a different direction than you, but maybe that's for the best.
You can go any direction you want as long as you wrap it back around. And here you go. So mine is just your local pastry shop. You get a bear claw and you get a cupcake schedule. That's all I got. It's not as involved as yours, but
I don't know how I got down a saving Silverman rabbit hole, but like I thought of this and then like I like thought through like the reasoning. I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And then of course I watched probably like 45 minutes of Saving Silverman clips and just sat there chuckling, you know, to myself about it. So here we are. That's where we are now.
I love it. Yeah, the benefactor is the off the rails, unhinged. You just whatever you're feeling. I think it always works.
Would you say that it bodes well or poorly for Cincinnati that we are 10 minutes under any other team that we've previewed so far this year?
I don't think it bodes well for them because we're just like, yeah, this unit kind of stinks. Next unit.
Yeah.
It happens. Okay. But yeah, I mean, there'll be like three dudes who we said stink who will pop off this year. That's how this goes. We're dudes talking into microphones in August. We'll see what happens after they play some football. But yeah, I went in, I like the schedule. I don't love the team. That's sort of my, yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. Well said.
They might find a way to be just fine though. All right. Anything else on the Bearcats?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. All right. Let's get out of here. You can find us on smokingmusket.com. You can find us on Twitter. It's West by Pod with underscores. And if you're not in the Smoking Musket Discord, now is the time to be joining before we get to the season. You can get in there for all the jokes, memes, watch parties, college football, dynasties, whatever you got. Make sure you join in there. And we will see you guys next time. We got three more deep dives to do before our Penn State preview. So we'll see you then.
God damn. Take care, game.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.